Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kennedy, and you tune in today because you're sick of trying every fad diet under the sun and training yourself into the ground without seeing any results. That's why I'm here, to share the most effective ways to eat and train for sustainable and real results. Hey guys, welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm pumped to have you join me today, and I have a very special guest in Nick Brax, who is going to be joining me. We're going to be speaking about mental health and how health and fitness can play a big role in your mental health. I'm not going to do too much of an intro on Nick. I'm going to let him do that himself. He's going to have a chat to us about his journey so far. So thank you again for joining me. Make sure you stick around for this week's social media question of the week, and I hope you enjoy today's interview. Guys, before I get stuck into the interview, I just wanted to mention that this week's podcast episode is brought to you by Custom Plates. Complete the look of your car, design your unique custom plates at vplates.com.au, and you can look out for that link in the show notes. All right, Nick, let's start the interview, mate. Give us a bit of a rundown about yourself. Tell us a bit about what you do and what you're doing currently.
All right, well, yeah, first of all, thank you for, you know, having me here on your podcast. It's
pleasure.
Yeah. Great to be on there. I'm doing a few things, but I work in the mental health area. I've worked as a mental health advocate and public speaker for about 10 years now. I've been traveling around the country, raising awareness, speaking at a range of schools, organisations, in the media, and just delivering sort of behaviour change messages, awareness sessions. And it's become, I organically fell into that work, and it's become probably my biggest passion, and it's that's my life's mission, to just try and help people in that area. I've also come from a bit of a business background, started up a few different businesses of, you know, a range of different areas. I had an underwear label at one point, I was involved in a cafe venture, and I've now got a mindfulness platform called Happy Waves.
Awesome.
Is that
an app, or?
That's an app, yeah. So it's, yeah, an app, cool. Where we record educational courses with a range of the best teachers in Australia.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Just a way to showcase the work that all of these different teachers are doing.
Yeah, cool. I'll make sure that's in the show notes for those of you that are listening. You check it out.
Yeah, cool.
Sounds cool. And just before you go on, so you said that you've obviously been doing this for a while now, especially in the mental health area. Is there a reason for that? Like, was there a reason you got into it? Had you kind of gone through like some form of like mental health issues in the past that had led you into that?
Yeah, there's a definite reason I got into it. I suffered from depression when I was a teenager. I actually wanted to be a professional athlete, and I've always had a very obsessive mind, and I was just so driven. It was almost like, well, I did have OCD about wanting to be a professional athlete, and trained myself into the ground. And when that was gone, I didn't know what I wanted, and I was lost, and I had a whole lot of other issues. I was, you know, catatonically shy. I was insecure. I had a whole lot of things that I had to deal with, and it took me a long time to work through it all. And while I was working through it, I was fortunate that I was in a position where I got to speak out through some of the media work and TV work I had fallen into about mental health, and that sort of organically evolved into me being asked to speak at schools and spread messages. And I got a good response, saw how big of an issue it was, and, you know, from that day, really, from the first talk that I did, it really just highlighted to me how critical it is.
How important it was, yeah.
Yeah, it's just such a big thing.
Yeah, cool. So you mentioned a bit about the businesses and stuff that you've done. What are you kind of doing currently? Obviously, you're speaking and stuff. Is there anything else you're doing at the moment that's what other interests or what are you doing for work apart from speaking?
So day-to-day, the main focus at the moment is my work in the mental health area and acting. I'm pursuing acting. I've been pursuing that for a few years now, actually managed and trained by, who's one of my best mates now as well, Craig McMahon, who I know you know, and he trains here. So he's a great guy, and he's been amazing. And I met him about probably five years ago now, and he's really taken me under his wing and mentored me, and I wouldn't have been able to, you know, get to where I am today with the acting if it wasn't for that. And it's become a passion of mine as well. So they're the two things I'm doing day to day.
Awesome. What are some of the acting gigs that you've done in the past, and what are you doing at the moment?
I'm still pretty new to it, but I've done, you know, a few short films, guest roles on different shows, small parts. I'm doing an ongoing guest role at the moment on Neighbours, which has been awesome.
I keep
extending it, and been great. It's the first, you know, proper acting role I've had, and learning a lot, and it happened, you know, earlier and quicker than Craig and myself thought, so really happy about it. It's been great.
Perfect. So obviously our chat today, we want to be kind of pairing up
mental health with health and fitness. We spoke the other week, and by the sounds of it, you're pretty into your health and fitness, and it's played a pretty big role in your mental health as well. So how would you say that health and fitness has played a role in your mental health? Like, how important do you think it is to stay fit and healthy?
I think for me personally, it's critical. I come from a sporting and competitive background, and it's been one of the biggest parts of my life. So when I did get work through this battle that I had with depression and ongoing, exercise daily has been probably the most important thing. I train every day, and I do it much more so for the mental side than the physical side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the benefits of that are profound. I think it's scientifically they say it's about as effective as antidepressants for your mental health, which is pretty huge.
Yeah.
And
without the drugs.
Yeah. So it's such a big thing. It's so critical, and I just think it is a tool that can be used to help so many people.
Yeah. And in your own case, did you find that when you were going through a bit of a rough time, had you backed off the training completely because of you're in that state? And then obviously that kind of compounds and turns into a bit of a snowball effect. And I'm assuming with your talking stuff, you've spoke to a lot of different people that have gone through it as well. Do you find that it's a recurring type theme where people are in that position that are in a bad state mentally, that they're not exercising?
100%. Yeah, it's a funny thing because it's a vicious cycle, because things like, I meditate as well, and I talk to people about this, and people that I've like sort of trained and spoken to around meditation, they'll try it and then they'll get stressed or anxious or busy, and they'll be like, oh no, I can't do it. And it's like, well, that is the time when it is most important. So the same with the exercise. When I was going through that period, I'd stopped doing it, and it's when you need it actually the most, because you're in such a bad way and you need that outlet, that escapism, that way to clear your head, to get clarity, to get endorphins, you know, rushing through your body. But because I had stopped, it compounds and makes it worse. And the further you go down that rabbit hole, the harder it is to get back out of it. So
yeah, sure.
That is a big part of the messaging that I'm putting forward to people, and programs I'm trying to run through schools and organizations, is more preventative work and creating sustained habits. It's not about trying to overcome a problem once you've already got it. It's, I don't have a problem right now, but how can my life be better? Yeah. How can I ingrain daily habits into my life that are going to,
prevent it from getting to that stage
and hold me in good place when, you know, because life is, no matter how well life's going, it's going to have ups and downs, and, you know, we need to be equipped to handle that.
Yeah, sure. So it was actually something I was going to mention later on in the interview about meditating. So did you get into that post going through kind of mental health issues, I guess, or was that something that you tried previously? Because I know, like myself, I've spoke about it a fair bit on the podcast in the past kind of 6 to 8 months. I tried it a little bit about a year or so ago, or just over a year, sorry. And then I did it for a while and then dropped off a bit. And then I think it was the start of, so January 1st, 2017, I was like, I'm going to do it every single day for 2017. And I've done it every day since.
Oh, wow.
And like, before that, I'd be the last person to try
meditation. Yeah.
Like, I'm just constantly on, can't switch off, but I found it, like, unreal. I start my day with it every day,
Oh, great. Yeah.
So what, do you go with guided meditation? Like, do you have any specific apps or places where people can start if they've never tried it before?
Oh, they can try Happy Waves.
Yeah.
No, but I got into it actually post the depression sort of episode that I'd been through. Not that, you know, you ever get completely past that, but it was once I sort of was more on track, I actually got into it because I had been asked to go on a reality show and I was absolutely terrified. Like, I was, are you allowed to swear on here?
Yeah.
I was shitting myself. I was like completely, because I was still, you know, like I was saying before, I was catatonically shy. I had insecurity issues, social issues, a whole lot of things. And I'd just gotten through this, issue with depression. And then I was asked to go on a reality show. It was Dancing with the Stars, and I had to go and dance on live TV, and I wouldn't even dance when I was with my mates, and I'd said yes to it because the competitive side, as you probably know, fuck, I just want to, you know, that's a way to push myself out of my comfort zone and do something that I probably would never do again. But then when the reality kicked in, I was freaking out and I was looking for how can I cope with this, and I met a guy who teaches Vedic or transcendental meditation, is another name for it. Got trained in that, and it's where you, so one of the sort of oldest forms of it, and you get trained, it's mantra based meditation. You do it 20 minutes in the morning, 20 at night. Started doing that and found massive benefit from it, and I've really stuck at that ever since. And that's what, you know, with the mental health work and the passion, you know, for fitness and all those areas, something I've stuck with, and that's why we made Happy Waves as well. Like, it was realizing this is such a big area, but so many people
underutilized,
and there's so many different ways to do it. And the way I'm doing it, the Vedic meditation, you know, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 at night, that's not applicable to some people. It doesn't, you know, they don't respond to it as well, or that might. So there's so many different ways, and that was why we did Happy Waves. It's finding all of the best teachers in their different communities, and providing them with a platform where we record really structured courses based on their sort of methodologies, whether it's around anxiety or relationships, performance, whatever it is, and just showcasing that in one platform that people can access.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's awesome. And like you said, like, it may not be, I know for people that I talk to that haven't done meditation, like mentioning, you know, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night, they don't even consider doing it because they're like, there's no chance I'm going to be able to sit down for 20 minutes in the morning or at night, especially if you've got families or whatever.
Exactly.
So I'm the same. I always recommend even 5 minutes, like
anything.
There's some days where I might be running behind, or I just don't really feel like sitting down for that long. I've got a lot to do, where I'll just do 5 minutes, and even that makes me feel a shitload better than what I did.
Exactly.
And even just a bit of peace of mind that you've taken the time to do it.
Exactly.
And like I said, last year I made that goal to do it every day, and it was also as well as just kind of being disciplined enough to stick to it. And then and you kind of, once you get that under your belt, everything feels so much easier.
Oh, massively. Yeah, massively. And I think, another point about it is, like, and like you're saying, it's, you know, you, it's not being hard on yourself and putting pressure on it, or it might be, even if I can only do 5 minutes once every week, that's better than nothing. But then I've had a lot of people say to me, oh, I'm trying to do it, but I'm not able to focus or still my mind. I'm not good enough at doing it. I don't know how to do it, so I'm going to stop. And it's like, and part of the sort of, you know, mindset behind it, and the same, it's sort of using mindfulness, and it's not about the whole reason, you know, we're doing it and stealing our mind and trying to train your mind to be in that sort of peaceful place is that it's not about being right, wrong, you know, there's no, that doesn't exist. It's just about allowing your mind to just be okay with things.
Yeah.
It's not saying that you can stop yourself from thinking about things, but it's desensitizing, or it's detaching yourself from the highs and the lows. All these different things that happen in life, we get addicted and attached to, which is a whole another conversation, and social media. So I think it's, you know, a bigger problem than it ever has been in human history. But, that's really the sort of mindset behind it, to just be, anyway, I can talk all day about that stuff.
It's good. Yeah, definitely. And there's 100% days where I do it and think to myself after it, like, fuck, I did not switch off once, or I was thinking about something the whole time. But like I said, it's just doing it day in, day out. And there'll be days where it's complete opposite, where you'll just think to yourself, holy shit, like, that was awesome. Or I completely switched off, where for someone like myself, like, I never switch off, like I said. So even if it's just 5 seconds of just complete nothing, like, I find the benefit of that is huge.
Massively. And I think I'm very similar to you, that my mind just doesn't stop. And that's why, you know, people, I think, with a mindset like what we have, a lot of the time say, oh, no, I could never meditate because, you know, I can't. We're the people that need it more than anyone else. You know, you might have someone who's naturally, you know, super chilled, doesn't have a worry in the world, and, you know, still be good for them to meditate, but they probably don't need it as much as the people who are always on. So
I agree. All right, mate, so this morning I put on a post on my Instagram about the word fear. I think to many people, the word fear, or when you think of fear itself, it means different things to some people, and especially the reaction to fear can be completely different from person to person. Some people find it as a challenge and see fear as a good thing and always attack it and get out of their comfort zone, whereas other people, it's a debilitating thing, and often fear is what can lead to mental health issues, and once you've got that issue, it then obviously compounds. So what does fear kind of mean to you, and is there ways of coping with fear that you've picked up along the way in your own journey so far?
Yeah, massively. I mean, I saw your post this morning about that, and I'd put up a video yesterday about fear, and I was thinking, it was funny timing, but I think fear is just, it's a huge thing. I think it's one of the biggest issues, and like you said, it compounds when you, because I think a lot of the time, you know, we know deep down in our gut what we want to do, but we'll allow society, friends, family, opinions, fear of failure, all of these different, you know, stigmas that we're attaching to things to stop us from doing it because we're afraid. And I think that can cause a lot of suppressed issues. And for me, it's been, probably the most important part of my journey has been just trying to force myself to face things that I've been terrified about. And like I was talking to you about before, you know, I was catatonically shy. I couldn't look someone in the eyes and have a conversation. And
yeah.
the thought of, you know, public speaking, anything like that, I would have just been, sorry, I'm just going to adjust that,
sick
to my stomach at the idea of it. Like, I literally would have almost rather, you know, crawled into a hole and...
Then face your fears at
then
the
face that, yeah. yeah. And I had to do it. Well, I didn't have to. I chose to do it because I knew that, you know, I wasn't going to develop as a person and become the person I wanted to be if I didn't push myself to go and face them. And yeah. I did. But when I first started doing these talks, I was turning up and... having, you know, a sheet of paper with I'd be turning up literally with a sheet of paper word for word written down, and I'd be
yeah.
standing there and just shaking and just like mumbling these words, and no one could understand a thing that I said
yeah.
Because I was so terrified. I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks. I was sick. I was like literally was sick some of the time before I did it. But you know, I got through it, and I was like, hang on, I didn't do a very good job here, but I the world didn't end.
Yeah.
No, I'm still alive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then I went and did it again and again and again and again. And then I became okay at it. And, you know, now I'm actually made a career doing that. And that was what gave me the courage to face other fears, where, you know, I wanted to pursue acting for such a long time. But I, again, was like, nah, that's not acceptable. I've got to, you know, there's no money in it.
Yeah.
People are going to laugh at me. I can't act. How am I going to do that? And, you know, I should be making a more stable career, go and get a corporate job or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do it. And then I drew on that experience and went and did it. And,
yeah.
you know, I'm still at my early stage of, you know, my acting career. But yeah. I've landed a role on you know, Neighbours, and I've
yeah.
been doing that. And I'm really proud of that. And, you know,
yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
But it gives you that, you know, that
once you've done it that first time and that first thing comes up, then you realise that fear that you had is nothing worth
is
being
it,
worried about. In the
not
first
worth
place
being
yet.
Worried about, and you know, who cares at the end of the day? Like, it's sort of, you know, reminding yourself that it doesn't matter if you don't, you know, if you stuff up or don't do as good of a job as you thought, or
yeah.
you know, who cares what other. I think the more you do it, the more you get to a point where you start to really wash away all of this other crap that we've put in our head about what other people will think, what we should be doing, how we should be, and you get to a point where you just, you know, you're just like, you know what. This is who I am. This
yeah.
is what I'm doing. If you like it or you don't like it, doesn't really matter.
Anyway,
I want people around me that
yeah.
you know want to support me. If you don't support me, that's fine too.
Yeah.
There's
this saying that I've been
just
using a little bit lately is that other people's opinions are none of your business.
Yeah, exactly. So good, isn't it?
So true.
Simple
yeah.
but true. Yeah.
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 And like I was kind of in a similar boat. Like I come from sporting background, so basketball, football, and then. It would have been 5 years ago now, so I had an ankle reco at the end of 2013, and that's when I kind of made the decision to do my first physique competition, which for me and for people that I hung out with was just none of my mates were doing it. Like
yeah
I don't think anyone had any. I actually didn't tell anyone that I was doing my first comp until 2 weeks out
yep.
of that first competition, and everyone was like, what the hell, like this is so weird. And same with me, like
yeah.
I was so nervous that day getting up on stage for the first time, because
yeah.
it was just completely different to anything I'd ever done, anything that any of my mates had ever done. And after doing it for that first time, like that's kind of basically kickstarted my whole career, I guess, in
yeah,
the health
yeah,
and fitness
yeah.
industry. So
yeah.
if I was,
that's great.
You know, if
yeah.
I hadn't faced that fear, I guess, of getting up there and just not worrying about what other people think, then who knows, like how different it could be today.
I know,
type
exactly.
of thing. So once you, I just think for me, I used to be the opposite. So I used to kind of back away from certain fears and certain things that I was worried about other people's opinions, whereas now, like, I kind of jump on that opportunity to face any fear that I can, because I know the benefits can be so big.
Exactly. Well, it's a very similar story, and
yeah,
I completely relate to it. And I think from like your story, my story, I think the reason it's so important to get these messages out to people is that it's scary to think about how many people have wanted to do similar
yeah.
things where they've, you know, had this, you know, idea, but they've been held back because they've been afraid to do it, and then they've 100%. Never explored it. So it's, you know, it is such an important thing to educate people about the
yeah.
fact that it's okay to go and, you know,
yeah, and even
do something
like,
different.
Yeah, even when I did that first competition, that's just one example, obviously, but like posting about it or whatever, even then, like having
yeah.
people message me and saying, like, you know, I've wanted to do this for ages, or I've wanted to start training more often, or, you know, whatever it may be, like, if one post can do that, like something like a podcast or what you're doing at the moment where you're speaking, like you said, can help so many people,
oh,
which is which
yeah.
is unreal. Chuck it in there if you
want. Actually, that's probably going to be better, mate. Perfect.
Alrighty.
Thank you. There
Good.
We go. 100%. It's so important. And I was going to say something else. What? Oh, I'm sure it'll come up.
So obviously you've been pretty open about going through your own depression. For those that kind of haven't been through that before, or maybe someone might be going through that now but haven't actually kind of recognized what it is, what were some of the feelings or thoughts that you were having that you wish you kind of could have expressed, but at the time you didn't feel like you could, or you felt like, I don't know if I'm putting this, I'm wording this the best way, but you know, you might have felt some way which you knew wasn't right, but you weren't able to express to others how you felt, or you thought that it might have been silly to bring it up. Like, for those that may be going through it, have you got any advice?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, one of the biggest ones at the beginning was just a fear of being vulnerable, a fear of showing any vulnerability, and, you know, not being that sort of tough guy that can get through anything, and worrying about being judged. What will my friends think? What will, you know, other, what will society think? Is that, does that mean I'm weaker than other people? You know, all of those sort of thoughts. And I think, you know, now that I've gone through all of that, I think what I've learned is it actually takes a lot more courage, and it's a lot more, you know, strength of character to go and actually be raw, expose yourself, speak your mind, show how you feel. That that's a lot harder than hiding stuff. So that was one of the key things I learned. I mean, there's so many different things, and it was really, you know, it comes down as well to just having, you know, working on your emotional intelligence, learning to understand yourself, understand how your mind works, the people that you're around. There's so many things to it, but I think it's also, it's different for everyone. There's no right or wrong way to handle it, but it is so important that people, you know, and it's growing. There's more education around it. There's more, the stigma is being reduced, but it's still there. But it's why it's so critical. Eventually, it needs to get to the point where this mental health.
It's not even a, it's well, not even, like, you don't even need to think twice about it.
Don't need to think twice. No, it's seen the same. You know, as if you're in the gym and you break your arm, you know, oh, am I going to feel embarrassed or worried that I'm going to call the doctor to come and get my arm fixed?
Exactly.
I've got a problem in my mind. Okay, well, fine. You know, it happens to a third of people statistically. I think it's more. I need to go and, what can I do? I'll call a friend. I'll see a therapist, a psychologist, a counsellor, talk to the, you know, EAP at work if you're in a corporate environment, or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah,
but, you know, and it's just like, I'm dealing with a problem. I'm fixing a problem that is part of the human condition.
Yeah. And you just mentioned a few of those then, but we've obviously spoke about meditation already, but what are some of the coping mechanisms that helped you get through that kind of tougher time? And even now, like, I don't know if you're still, if you still kind of go, obviously you're doing meditation, but is there any other mechanism that you're still utilizing today to stay on top of it?
I mean, through the tough time, it was, you know, therapy, it was talking to, having the support. I'm very fortunate that I've got a very supportive family. I've got amazing friends and really good people around me. So having that support, and just working through it on a day-to-day basis, taking going back to basics, taking things one step at a time. For myself, probably similar to you as well, like being, you know, very ambitious and, you know, always, like we're talking about, always being on, it sort of was putting so much pressure on myself that, oh, I want to do this, this, and I want to take over the world. And it's just like calming it down and breaking it down into, what can I do right now?
Yeah.
And take it down to those steps and,
break it,
you know,
right down,
break it down. But but for, you know, for like day-to-day now, I would say the two most important things for me that I do every single day are exercise and meditation. I meditate twice a day, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 at night, and I train every day, whether I'm in the gym, running, whatever it is, I have to do it. And it's, like I said to you earlier, it's not so much physically, it's because mentally it just makes me feel so good. And no matter what's happening in the day, it's just that outlet, and you know, you just feel incredible. And that, I think for me, like, exercising is when I think most creatively as well. I'm there, and every between, you know, doing sets, I'll be pulling out my phone and writing down notes because I've got all these ideas flooding into my mind. And because you're taking yourself out of an environment and just allowing your mind to be more open, it creates that, you know, that scenario where you, where you can have that happen.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned so you do your meditation and your exercise day to day. Is there any other morning rituals that you do? Like, it's a question that I ask most people on the show, whether they have a specific morning ritual in the morning to get their day started. For you, is it just exercise and meditation and off you go?
I started a new one actually that I'm sticking to. It's been, because I tried a few others in the past and I've never stuck to them. But so now it's wake up, meditate for 20 minutes, and I have a cold shower now.
I'm doing exactly the same.
You're doing it, How long have you been doing that?
Just on a month. So I've been going normal shower and then finishing with 30 deep breaths on just complete cold.
Same thing.
And I fucking love it.
It's it's actually incredible. Like, and there's a lot of research and articles and, you know, things coming out about it. But whether or not that's right, you feel incredible. Like you you just feel, it sort of like brings you back to life, and that's going to be
good. Yeah.
Well, and I guess like when I kept doing it, I was thinking, because we've got a holiday house at White River on the Great Ocean Road, and the water there is just icy cold.
Yeah.
Even in the middle of winter, every morning I get up and go for a run and jump in the ocean.
Yeah.
And I was thinking back to that, whenever I'm there, after I've done the swim and the run in the morning, I'll just feel so alive and incredible. And the shower, the cold shower is sort of giving you that every day.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So it's perfect.
It's so good.
All right, mate, we'll finish off the interview with a bit about kind of what's coming up. So obviously you're acting at the moment, you're still doing your speaking gigs. We spoke briefly the other week on the phone about how you're going to try and bring into a bit more health and fitness and pair it up with the mental health side of things. Like, how do you plan to do that? Like, what are your plans to bring more awareness around how fitness and physical fitness can improve your mental health?
Yeah, I want to incorporate it definitely into, you know, the work I'm doing. I'm running workshops and seminars in schools and organisations and you know, we've got Happy Waves, which we're, you know, always pushing out to as many people as we can. And it's also looking at, how can I develop more of a platform with the work that I'm doing, like you're saying, with the fitness and meditation, package it together. I'm not sure exactly how now. I've looked at, you know, even qualifying myself to train people, or or maybe putting a program together and bringing other, you know, trainers like yourself or someone else that that understands that area to help me put a program together. Because it is really, you know, I think those two things, meditation and exercise, need to be packaged up in a accessible and sustainable, you know, way for people to access. If someone's in a country town and they don't have enough money to pay, you know, for that service regularly, how can we make something, accessible for them? So it's looking at all of those areas and just continuing, you know, the work, and I'm sure, you know, different things will unfold. So it's really being open-minded to, you know, how can I, in the best way, get these, communicate this and, you know, create sort of, I guess, sustainable, you know, packages for people to do that can make a change. And then in addition to that, just, you know, pursuing the acting, which I love doing. It's like, it's a creative outlet for me, outside of the mental health. It's my other passion, and doing the role on Neighbours, and I'll keep pushing and, you know, see what else can happen with it.
So the gig that you've got on Neighbours now, is that all being aired at the moment, or is that coming up?
Yeah, it is. It was an episode on last week. There's more coming out in the next month. So
cool. Let's
keep an eye out for Brandon, see what he's up to on Neighbours.
Awesome, mate. Well, firstly, I'd like to thank you for coming on today and doing the interview. It was awesome. Again, anytime we can bring up mental health, and hopefully someone that's listening to it can benefit from it, I'm stoked with that, and well done with what you're doing, and all the best for the future, mate.
Yeah, awesome, mate. And yeah, I wanted to say thank you for having me on here, really inspiring the work you're doing, and
thank you.
Good to finally meet you.
Yeah, I know, it's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, guys, well, make sure you stick around for this week's social media question of the week. All right, guys, this week's social media question of the week. And the question is, what do you do when fat loss plateaus, or when you stall, you don't see any progress with your weight loss or your fat loss for more than a few weeks? Now, we are left with a couple of options. So option number one is to slightly decrease our calorie intake. And by slightly, I mean anywhere between 50 and 150 calories. So only a very small reduction there. Our next option is to increase energy expenditure. Now, we have two options there. So firstly, we can increase the volume or the amount of days that we're doing for strength training, and we can increase our energy expenditure that way. Or secondly, we can increase our cardio, or even add cardio if you're not doing it already. So that's our two options, and we also have a third that gets a special mention, and that is doing a little bit of both. We only need to do very small amounts though, guys. When we hit a plateau, there doesn't need to be drastic changes or huge changes to see results again. We just make a small change, monitor it over a few weeks, see how we go, and if it works, we stick with it. If it doesn't work, then we make another change. But there's no need to make drastic changes or to completely suffer to see fat loss again. So I hope that's helped you, and I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I do really appreciate your support and for the fact that you are joining me today. I'd love it if you could do me a huge favor and take a screenshot of today's episode, post it on your social media, and share it with your friends, whether that be Instagram stories, Snapchat, or even posting the link to Facebook. All the help and support is much appreciated, guys, and it does help rank the podcast a little higher. And again, I just want to thank you for tuning in today. I hope you've taken something from the episode, and I look forward to chatting to you again in next week's show.